Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. Alec Baldwin has finally killed someone. And Gabby Petito has one more thing to teach us. We're going to go through all that and more right here on Bob Inyart Live. Stay tuned. That's right. Welcome, everybody, at KLTT AM 670, the 50,000-watt blowtorch for the gospel of Jesus Christ out of Denver, Colorado, and all of our friends at KGOV worldwide on the World Wide Web, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. We go out to our worldwide audience. It's good to be with you. I'm Doug McBurney sitting in, and yes, Alec Baldwin has finally killed someone. Alec Baldwin, if you remember, right here on Bob Inyart Live, Alec Baldwin was exposed for what he is, a demented maniac and borderline lunatic, when we aired a recording of Alec Baldwin berating one of his own family members. I think it was his daughter. I don't remember all the details, but it was pretty shocking to hear someone say that. The way he said it and what he said to his own family members, particularly vicious and maniacal. So now Alec Baldwin has finally actually killed someone. And anyone who thinks that that was merely an accident is naive. First of all, many of you have had some sort of firearms training, many of us. So whether you were in the military or whether you just took a CCW class, or whether you were just a Boy Scout, there's a rule about guns. Number one, you never point a gun at someone unless you intend to shoot them. Another rule is that, generally speaking, every time you come into contact with a weapon, you assume it's loaded. And you never pull the trigger on a gun unless you check with your own eyes to see if that weapon is loaded or not. Alec Baldwin, at the very least, is guilty of negligent homicide for just not checking the gun himself. And at the worst, someone is guilty of murder. At the worst. And so, whoever put a bullet in the gun. I mean, it seems to me that my initial suspicion would be, and I think the attitude of justice officials, the sheriff there in New Mexico, they were there. I mean, the sheriff's initial assumption should be that somebody wanted somebody dead on that set. And somebody put a bullet in the gun. And then if that turns out not to be true, well, the investigation would lead to wherever it leads. But that should be the assumption. Somebody wanted to kill somebody on that set. Alec Baldwin hasn't even been arrested yet. How is that? How is it that the guy who pulled the trigger and shot someone and killed someone hasn't even been arrested? It's yet another example, a symptom of the condition of our just a system. It should be obvious that Alec Baldwin and I think a number of other people should be in jail right now and under investigation for what happened. That's pretty much all I have to say about Alec Baldwin, because he doesn't really rate a whole lot of attention. I was surprised to hear that he still had an acting career. I wasn't familiar with that. I thought he had devolved into just a ranting left-wing maniac. And that's somehow he sustained his living that way. If there's a way, I think there is a way. I think ranting and raving on the left, it pays some sort of, I don't know if it gets commissions on it or what, every rant, I'm not sure. But I wasn't sure what Alec Baldwin was up to, and wow, haven't heard from him and haven't heard about him in a while, and until he killed somebody. Okay. Meanwhile, let's go to Vladimir Putin, because I'm not a fan of Vladimir Putin. I think he's a bad guy. I think he's a corrupt dictator who has killed innocent people. You know, a lot like many of our elected officials here in the United States. But anyway, Vladimir Putin, he gave a speech at the Valdai Discussion Club in Sochi. I'm not sure what that is, but he was giving a speech. And he said that the West, that means us, that means Western Europe and the United States. Vladimir Putin said the West is completely insane for allowing children to be taught that there is no biological sex, unquote. That's Vladimir Putin, really mean guy who's killed innocent people, and he's a dictator. But he's not completely insane. Not like some of the governing officials here in America that we're going to talk about a little bit. Because we now have Is that all I have from Vlad? Oh, yes. He also says they are subverting human nature, unquote. Subverting human nature. Well, they're trying to subvert human nature. And in the case of America's newly minted four-star admiral, let's see here. Which one do I want to start with Rick Levine? I call him Rick Levine because Rick Levine is a guy who dresses up like a girl and has been appointed as a four-star admiral now by Joe Biden. He's the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. He's the secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And he dresses up like a woman and calls himself Rachel. And Joe Biden expects us to go along with it. And most of America is actually going along with it. But not Joy Pullman, the executive director at The Federalist. Joy Pullman wrote an article in The Federalist that I will link to on the show summary on kgov.com. If you can't tell a man from a woman, you're not a health official, you're a health threat, said Joy Pullman. And I've not read a better headline in quite some time. And so Joy points out that, as a matter of fact, the alleged president of the United States, the leader of the Hyde-Embarrass administration, Joe Biden, has appointed Rachel Rick Levine as a four-star admiral. And then he had a press conference where he called Mr. Levine the first female four-star officer. And Joy Pullman writes, she says, I repeat, this is not a joke. She opened up the article by saying, this is not a joke. And within less than one paragraph, she had to repeat that because by the time you get to the end of the paragraph, you would have to assume that actually this is a joke. But Joy reiterates, no, this is not a joke. We have a cross-dressing, mentally deranged person with no military experience has now been appointed as America's first female four-star officer. And so we're laughing, of course, because this is laughable and all of that. Oh, just in case you thought that the joke might be over, Mr. Levine was also awarded the Public Health Service COVID-19 Pandemic Campaign Medal. That's right, a medal. They've got a medal that they've designed for their newly minted four-star admiral that they just made up out of thin air and whole cloth. So not only did they pin the four stars onto the blouse of Mr. Levine, now they invented a medal to pin on his chest. While they insisted we all call him her, which is just bizarre. Now, you may remember, or you may not, so I'll remind you, that Rick Levine pulled his mother out of an old folks' home up in New England while he was forcing other people to stay in old folks' homes where they were dying from COVID-19, just so you know. And for that, he gets the Public Health Service COVID-19 Pandemic Campaign Medal. It's as if he stormed the beaches at Normandy. So, folks, this is a very Soviet moment. Because in the Soviet Union, I don't know if you folks remember, think back. And for you kiddos who are too young, go on to Google and Google. Let's see, I'm trying to think of the Russian, the Soviet premier who really exemplified this to the best. I'm trying to think of his name. There were a number of them. But the one I remember the most from the 1970s was Brezhnev. So you'll have to figure out how to spell it, kiddos, because it's Russian. It's difficult. And I can't remember his first name, but he was Brezhnev. B-R-E-Z-H. And then Google will probably spell the rest of it for you. But anyway, just watch some videos of President Brezhnev, or I don't forget what he called himself. See, in the Soviet Union, they invented titles for themselves all the time, and then they would create medals. And if you watched a speech from Leonid Brezhnev, there, I remembered now, Leonid Brezhnev, in behind him, you would see a bunch of very old guys who looked like they were barely awake, and they had a lot of ribbons on their chest. They had like row after row after, they couldn't even bend over forward because they had this row of medals on their chest. None of them had ever done anything in combat or anything in the military since World War II, and a lot of them had fought in World War II, but most of the medals they wore were made up by the Soviets after a cessation of hostilities, so to speak. And so now here we are in America, where the Marxist coup and our government's been seized by a bunch of Marxist deranged sex perverts, now they're creating four-star admiral positions and then inventing medals to pin on their chest. Joe Biden looks an awful lot like Leonid Brezhnev. He's barely awake. So we've entered this Soviet moment in America. And Joy Pullman over at The Federalist says, she says, all this means that our nation is controlled by unserious people unfit to govern, which I think is an understatement. And you, well, you heard what I called them. It was a lot more than unserious. They're Marxist, deranged sex perverts who've seized the government and now are controlling the levers of power. And we're going along with it. Joy says that they're putting the United States in empire disintegration territory, reminiscent of the Roman Emperor Caligula. That's pretty well put. I can't argue with that. Empire disintegration territory.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just entered empire disintegration territory. Make sure your seatbelts are low and tight across your waist.
And then Joy goes on. So for those of you who might not be familiar with Caligula, I don't want to get into, you can look up Caligula. He was a mentally deranged sex pervert who seized power and basically destroyed the Roman Empire, or had a significant hand in the destruction of the empire. But listen to the serious point, because we laugh about this because, well, it's hysterically funny because it's insane. And when you witness insanity being exercised right in front of you and then being pawned off as if it's supposed to be taken seriously, it's hard not to laugh at that. But before you just dismiss this as a harmless joke, listen to the wisdom of Joy Pullman, the executive director over at the Federalist. She says, demanding that Americans submit to and celebrate obvious denials of reality is not just a joke. And it's not just a threat to our lives and our livelihoods. It is also a humiliation ritual designed to make us even more subservient to power. We must respond with staunchly refusing to live by lies. So the reason I will not call Mr. Levine Rachel is because I am not going to participate in the humiliation ritual that these Marxist, maniacal, demonic, demented, sick sex perverts are wanting me to participate. I'm not going to participate. I hope you will not participate in this humiliation ritual, because the longer you go along with the humiliation ritual, the more you become a victim of their tyrannical power over you, and the more closely you move to slavery. As long as you keep putting on the mask, as long as the stores keep posting the signs that say you have to have a vaccine, the longer we keep, these are all humiliation rituals designed to pull us into slavery, to pull us away from our trust and our knowledge in Jesus Christ and the authority of God, and the knowledge that reality is real because reality has a real author, and that's the living God in heaven. The more you go along with denying reality and participating in these humiliation rituals, the farther you are going to be pulled away from God. And the closer you and your children are going to be pulled into slavery. So I want to thank Joy Pullman, executive director at The Federalist. I will link to this article because there's a number of other things that she points out that are of interest and of import. Let's go from there to Superman. If you tuned into the Weekly Worldview last week, no, it was Bob Enyart Live last week. I talked about Superman and how they're queering Superman. They're queering everything as a part of a broader humiliation ritual. Well, one of the colorists at DC Comics, Gabe quit. Gabe's a colorist, which I assume that has something to do with coloring in the comics, because DC Comics decided to make Superman a bisexual freak, One of the colorists quit. So here's an artist at DC Comics who, and I'm not going to quote what he said because it's rather vulgar, and I don't appreciate that, but he basically said, I'm tired of all this. And because they, you know, they've made Superman a bisexual, and then they've changed Superman's slogan. Do we all remember Superman's slogan? Truth, justice, and the American way. That's right. A lot of people don't know that Superman was actually created by propagandists in the United States government as a counter to Nazi propaganda before World War II. Superman was every man. Because the Nazis claimed that they were building the super race of men. And here in America, we just said, you know what? We're just Americans. And because we're free Americans who believe in God, we're like supermen. And Superman became emblematic of that. And Superman was staunchly heterosexual. Although he wasn't really sexual in any way, as a matter of fact. At least not as far as any of us knew. That was never really a part of the deal, but now they've decided to make him a pervert. And so this colorist at DC Comics quit his job. And he said, this is nonsense and I'm tired of it. And so what's going to happen to this guy who quit his job? Oh no, is he going to end up under a bridge with a shopping cart, eating out of garbage cans? No, he just quit his job, that's all. He'll get another job where he doesn't have to submit to the humiliation ritual. So I think a lot of professionals in America, they think that if they lose their job because they stand for some principle like, hey, I don't think the government has the authority to inject me with an experimental vaccine because there's no existential emergency happening. And, well, you might lose your job for that. And so I think a lot of people have forgotten that, you know what, if you lose a job, it's not the end of the world. In fact, most of you, if you think about the last time you lost a job, there's a pretty good chance that you ended up in a better place. Because I've lost a few jobs, and I always ended up, it was rough for a little while, yeah. But it's not the end of the world. So if you're afraid to stand for principle just because you're afraid to lose your job, I think that's cowardly. Frankly, I think that's cowardly. So for all of you out there who are educated professionals and you make six figures and you're afraid that you're going to lose your job because you have to stand for principle, well, how about keep in mind that you're a successful person? And the reason you're a successful person is because you're a successful person, because you work hard and hopefully you love God and you want to honor God and you want to work to honor God. You know, the Bible tells us to work for our boss as if we're working for the Lord. And so if you have that attitude in your life, you're never going to end up under a bridge eating squirrels. It's not going to happen to you. You're just going to lose your job. And then you might have to get a job somewhere else. And you might have to start out making less money. And yeah, but you know what? You're a successful person. You'll go on to do even better. So don't be afraid. And I'm talking specifically to doctors and nurses and pilots and other people who I've always considered, there's certain elite professions, you know, like doctors and nurses and airline pilots. There's others that I'm sure I'm forgetting. But it's jobs where you really have to be paying attention. Life and death type jobs. So if you have the skills to do that, stop allowing these maniacal perverts who've seized the government, stop allowing them to put you into these humiliation rituals and stand up for yourself and say no more. And if they say, well, you're going to get fired, just say, okay, I'm willing to get fired. Anyway, I have a friend, a close personal friend who works in an elite strata of industry, and he has decided he is going to stand, and he's not going to allow them to give him a drug that he doesn't want, and he's going to lose his job, and he's nervous about that because he's been doing it for over 25 years, and so it's not just a job, it's a career-ending event that he may be up against here. Well, he will be up against it. I've got a voicemail from him that he left me yesterday and I haven't picked up yet, but we've been talking. And I'll be talking with him after the show today to give him some encouragement. And I'll let him know about this colorist, Gabe at DC Comics, who said, you know what, I'm not going to go along with this. And he quit. And Gabe and my friend are exhibiting courage. And there's a reason that courage is noteworthy. It's because it's fairly uncommon for people to have courage. Okay, now I want to finish with Gabby Petito, which I have not talked about, I don't think, ever. I don't think I've talked about Gabby Petito, but there was something of a news obsession with the story of Gabby Petito, who her boyfriend killed her, and it was obvious that her boyfriend killed her, and she had disappeared, and then they found her. So we've all heard the story, right? I'm asking my board operator, are you familiar with the story of Gabby Petito? He's not familiar. That's actually a check mark in your favor, that he's not familiar. Well, there was a number of leftist news outlets that were upset by the fact that the news media seems to, every once in a while, get obsessed with a white girl who's pretty who gets murdered. And I've noticed that myself, that happens there's like almost a cycle, like a regular cycle, where an attractive woman is murdered and the news media obsesses over her for a while, especially when the boyfriend's involved and it's somewhat unsolved. So anyway, Gabby Petito was murdered by her boyfriend and then he killed himself. And so that's not all that noteworthy in America today because there's an epidemic of murder-suicide. And I happen to believe that the reason Gabby Petito's story made headline news for all these weeks is because she's good looking. That's why. Because the news media is relatively shallow. Along with the rest of us, we're all relatively shallow when it comes to titillating stories like this. But something was revealed as the search for Gabby Petito and the search for her boyfriend, the murderer, unfolded. What was exposed was the epidemic of murder in America. Because while the authorities were searching for the bodies of Gabby Petito and her boyfriend, the murderer, who I won't name, they found 9 other bodies that weren't Gabby Petito's or her boyfriend's. They were other people, either murdered or people who had committed suicide. So just stop and think about that. We have the authorities out searching for 2 individuals who they suspect. They suspect they're going to find their bodies. And in the course of doing so, they stumble over 9 other bodies who are not even related to this case in any way. They were just 9 other people. So the news media gets obsessed with an attractive girl who gets murdered every once in a while. And it's not that they're just obsessed with this particular girl because she's white or because she's pretty. It's because, well, they're not able to focus on all of the stories of the girls and boys who've been murdered or committed suicide. It's not possible because there's so many people being murdered. There's an epidemic of murder and suicide, so the news media can't cover all the stories. There's not enough airtime. There's not enough column inches in the newspaper. There's not enough. Can't be done. There's too many. So people shouldn't be upset that the news media every once in a while tends to focus on a pretty girl who's been murdered. That's human nature. That's to be expected. That's the way it is. But what should be shocking people is that we stumble over 9 other bodies. That should be headline news. It's like, what's going on? It's like we're in the midst of a bloodbath and we're not supposed to notice it. So don't pay attention to the blood-soaked streets. Call this 4-star admiral a girl. So, this way to the egress It's really, really bizarre. Really bizarre. Well, finally, I guess I just want to say thank you to In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger is not the greatest burger. It's not a bad burger. It's not the greatest burger. But the In-N-Out Burger in Contra Costa County, California, is being fined every day now because they will not ask customers for proof of vaccination. The article says that they're refusing to ask customers to present evidence showing they are vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, that's interesting. I don't think the people who've gotten the shot are actually vaccinated against COVID-19. I think that's fairly obvious right now. None of us can show proof that we're vaccinated against COVID-19 because the vaccines don't seem to stop the transmission of COVID-19. And I don't think there's any debate about it. But anyways, this is all about control. This is all about a humiliation ritual. They want the restaurant clerk, the guy who's frying up your burger, they want him to check your ID. That's a humiliation ritual. So anyway, the health department there says that the In-N-Out Burger faced repeated complaints from members of the public. So it's not necessarily even the health department that's enforcing this humiliation ritual. It's our neighbors are enforcing it upon themselves and us. And I don't even know if the Soviet Union ever devolved to that. I mean, they had the snitches, right? They had the snitches in the Soviet Union. And now we've got the hysterical, terrified cowards who are afraid to go into a... If you're that scared, you probably shouldn't go out for a burger. You should probably stay home. Anyway, the chief business and legal officer says on behalf of In-N-Out Burger that the vaccination humiliation ritual is intrusive, improper, and offensive. I said humiliation ritual. He didn't say that. But he did say it's improper, it's offensive. And he says, look, we've posted the signs properly and clearly that outline the vaccination requirements for indoor diners. And you see, that's the mistake that the folks at In-N-Out Burger make. You shouldn't even be posting the signs. Because once you post the signs, you've bought into the mania that's occurring. And then you start participating in the humiliation ritual. And if you don't participate fully, then they're going to force you to bend that knee because you already bent it. You put up the sign. You acted as if there's some legitimacy to having a vaccination policy in a burger joint. So you've already lost the war. So don't even go along with the signs. You know what I do everywhere I go when I get a chance? I tear those signs down that say wear a mask or stay 6 feet away or where there's arrows on the floor or the dots where you're supposed to stand. If I can, I tear them down and I throw them in the garbage. And that's what we all need to do. The folks at In-N-Out Burger say that the health officials want to segregate customers based on vaccine status. They say it's unreasonable, it's invasive, and it's unsafe. And I agree with that. So thank you to In-N-Out Burger and I guess Vladimir Putin, although I hate to say that. And I will remind you as you go about your day to keep the Lord in the forefront of your mind and do right
and risk the consequences.